Our speaker is a personal brother, Ivy Powell. Brother Powell is from the Prairie Grove Church of Christ in Caulfield, Missouri. And I'm going to let him do it his way. Make it plain about sin tonight. Brother Powell, let's hear you.
Brother Brooks, I appreciate very much this opportunity to be with you. We welcome all of you throughout this country and overseas who are listening to this gospel broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the Great Commission was given over 2,000 years ago to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:15-16. Since the day of Pentecost, billions of people have been given the opportunity to hear the good news and to obey the gospel of Christ. We are told that there are some 7 to 8 billion people that live upon this planet. And our opportunities to preach the gospel is given to us, such as this opportunity tonight. On one occasion, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. From that verse, we can know the truth. We can know that it is the standard by which we weigh what is right and what is wrong. We know also in 1 Peter 1:22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." My friend, one must hear truth, believe truth, obey truth, live according to the truth, that heaven may be theirs. If one hears false doctrine, if they believe false doctrine, if they obey false doctrine, if they live according to false doctrine, and if they die in their state, then according to the Bible, they will lose their immortal soul. Nothing, absolutely nothing is more important than a pursuit of truth. Now, there's a warning here. You see, if you listen to the truth, you may find that you're in error. If you listen to the truth, you may find that you're living in sin. If you listen to the truth, you may find out that you are going to be lost eternally. That, my friend, is really the truth. What some people mean when they say, "I want to know the truth," they want to know it as long as it doesn't interfere with what they believe. Or they want to know just a portion of it as long as it doesn't interfere with the way they live. In John 10, there came to Jesus round about him and said, "How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." John 10:24. Jesus proceeded to tell them that he indeed was the Son of God. "I and my Father are one," John 10:30. To which the Bible says, "Then the Jews took up stones against to stone him," John 10:31. You see, they really did not want to know the truth. So do you want to know the truth? Have you noticed, my friends, that few people talk about sin? Sin is almost unheard of in our society today. Through the years, evil men and evil women have meticulously worked their insidious plans to desensitize and remove sin from the minds of man, which is impossible to do. But take note how that pornography is now considered art. Drunkards have a disease. Homosexuals have an alternative lifestyle. Liars, well, they're just merely mistaken. Then adulterers and fornicators, they just have little indiscretion. Thieves have misappropriated funds, cursing, using vulgar language, and taking God's holy and divine name in vain is considered colorful language. One seldom ever hears anyone raise a voice and say, "This is sinful." I'm afraid that too many people in our society are like the folks in Jeremiah's day. Were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Jeremiah 8:12. The words of our Lord, I'm afraid, fitly describe so many people today. For this people's heart is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Matthew 13:15. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that sin is the worst thing that ever has happened. We find that sin will dull a person's ears. Sin will darken their understanding. Sin will cause people to divert their feet. It will cause people to defile their tongues. Sin causes people to deceive their own hearts. Sin will doom our souls. My friend, we need to hate sin. We need to shun sin. We need to seek the truth. Brother Wendell Winkler was a great gospel preacher of years gone by. And on one occasion in his writings, Brother Winkler said this about sin. Sin will destroy your name. Sin will destroy your traits of character. Sin will destroy your body. It will destroy you emotionally. Sin will destroy your talents. Sin will destroy you economically. It will destroy your prayer life. Listen to me now. Sin will destroy your conscience. Sin will destroy your home. It will destroy a city, a community, and a nation. And yes, sin can destroy a congregation of the Church of Christ. My friend, sin is nothing to be played with. All this sin that comes short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, that is all accountable people. How did sin enter into the world? Sin entered into the world when Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit. You remember in Genesis 2:17, the Lord told Adam and Eve not to partake of the forbidden fruit. In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And Romans 5, verse 12, lets us know, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now notice it, and so death has passed to all men. And so we find, therefore, we live in a world where sin is. No, we do not, underscore that word, not inherit sin. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. Ezekiel 18, verse 20. Sin is something that you commit. Whosoever transgresses the law, we find, commits sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4. So when you look at sin, we ask the question, what can we do about our sins? What are we to do? Well, when you turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, you find that Paul is writing to the Gentiles. He's reminding them of their condition before they became children of God. As you people in our audience, if you're not a child of God, listen to what the Word of God says about your condition. You have been quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. When one is outside of Christ, they are dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 12 even elaborates even further. That at that time being when you were not a Christian, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. My friend, that is your condition if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. But there's a great ray of hope. Because Paul lets it be known, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So they obeyed the gospel of our Lord. When you look at the book of Ephesians, we are told in verses 19 through 21 that those who practice the works of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you doing that? Are you practicing the works of the flesh? Are you living in adultery? Are you doing things that are sinful and wrong? My friend, the Lord lets us know that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When you turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, he lists some of those things right there. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, witchcraft. What about hatred? What about wrath? What about envy and murder and drunkenness? He says, they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how are we going to receive the forgiveness of our sins? Many years ago, I heard a story about a fellow walking through the woods, and he heard these hogs running first one way and another, and looking all up in these trees. You couldn't figure out what in the world are those hogs doing. Finally came up on an old farmer, and he said, hey, I see those hogs running everywhere, looking up in the trees. What's wrong with them? The old farmer laughed and said, well, I used to go out this time of the day, and I'd call the hogs, and they'd come, and I'd feed them. But my voice is very weak now, so I take this cane, and I hit the tree or the trough, and they come and I feed them, and here lately the woodpeckers have been out driving those hogs nuts. I'm afraid there are a lot of religious woodpeckers out there who are driving people nuts because they're not telling the truth. My friend, I want to tell you the truth about how your sins can be covered. In Psalm 32 and verse 1, blessed is a man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He is a happy, happy man. Now, that man happened to be David. Now, you remember about how David committed adultery with Bathsheba, as is recorded in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And when Nathan came to him and told him about that one little ewe lamb, and David was so upset, and then finally the servant of God looked David right in the eyes, so to speak, and said, David, thou art the man. Now notice it carefully. David did not try to blame someone else for what he had done. He did not get mad at the preacher there. He did not try to run away. He instantly repented. You see, David had a good heart. He was a man in you that was after God's own heart, Acts 13:22. And his heart was tender when he heard that truth. Stabbed him in the heart, and he repented. He did what God said under the old law and received forgiveness. But there were consequences that he had to live with. But he had his sins covered. Now we live under a far greater dispensation. I want you to know that the word cover is used in different senses in the Bible. There is to cover with protection, Isaiah 51:16, to cover with destruction, Ezekiel 26:19. Then there's to cover with forgiveness, as we read a moment ago in Ezekiel 32 and verse 1. Now, in the New Testament, the Bible talks about blotting out our sins in Acts 3:19, washing away our sins in Acts 22:16. In the Old Testament again, Psalm 103 and verse 12, talks about he has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. We'll not hold them or remember them against us anymore. In the New Testament, those who have obeyed the gospel, the Hebrew writer says, their sins and their iniquities will God remember no more, Hebrews 10:17. So, my friend, the world needs to be made sin conscious. Are you aware, my friend, that if you are in sin and you had died last night, you would be spending eternity in hell? That is a horrible thought. Now, God does not want you to do that. God sent forth his only begotten Son to die for your sins, my sins, the sins of the entire world, John 3:16. And it's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved, now listen, and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. So we find over there, 1 Timothy 2:3-4, God wants people to be saved. But they must come to a knowledge of the truth. So when we consider why people need to be converted, why they need to be have their sins covered, is because sin is transgression, 1 John 3:4. Sin is unrighteousness, 1 John 5:17. And then sin is omission. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4:17. And have you ever considered how God looks upon sin? He looks upon sin like a dirty garment. You ought to read Revelation 3:4 sometime. Or like a corrupt dead body, Matthew 23:27. He considers those who go back into sin that they're going back into filth and vomit, 2 Peter 2:22. There is the curse of sin. What do you mean? Sin separates us from Almighty God. Isaiah 59:1-2. Every step you take, every heartbeat you have within your chest is a heartbeat and a step away from God if you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord. There is that curse. Someone has well stated that sin is the curse of man. It is the grief of heaven. It is the delight of hell. Sin must be covered. But how are we going to receive the remission of our sins? How do we get rid of sin? You can't just run away from it. You can't just ignore it. Now, some people try some of those things. Some just say, well, I'm just not going to think about it. I'm just going to refuse to admit that I sin. Again, all of sin comes short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. If we say that we have not sinned, well, the Lord lets us know that we're calling God a liar. Look at 1 John 1, 8 through 10. Then there are those who are trying to hide their sin, but you cannot hide from God. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord see the evil and they see the good. God is on his throne. He looks down from heaven. Now notice it. He sees all of the inhabitants of the earth. That's Psalm 33, 13 and 14. He sees you right now where you are. He sees me. And we find, therefore, we cannot run from God. We cannot do that. Then there are those who just don't want to think about it. They want to try to, you know, act like, well, if I don't think about it, it's just not real. It's still real. And I mentioned a moment ago, there's some who try to run away from sin. You cannot run away from God. You cannot do that. Look at Psalm 139. Then there are those who are deceived into believing that if they just make up their own religion, have good deeds, then they're going to go to heaven. Several years ago, I was in a little country store in northeast Texas, and folks were discussing a religious subject. I knew most of them, and I listened, and all I did was quote a verse of scripture without any comment. Here's what the Bible says. A man turned and said to me, "That's not the kind of God I serve." I thought about that statement. You know, he was right. Because he did not serve the God of the Bible. So many people want to have a religion that they can make up. If it pleases them, they think it's going to please God. Not so, my friend. That is not true. The Lord lets us know in John 14 and verse 6 that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way we're going to get our sins removed is through Jesus Christ. He is the one that will lead us to where we can receive the remission of our sins. Now, God and God alone can forgive sins. He did David when David fulfilled the old law. And the alien sinners' sins are forgiven when they comply with the teaching of our Lord. Now, when you turn to the book of Acts, the book of conversions, you're going to read there of Jews that were assembled on the day of Pentecost. No telling how many Jews were present. We know that devout Jews from every nation in Acts 2 were assembled there. As they were assembled there, those devout Jews knew the old law. When the apostles began to preach the gospel, those people listened. And about 3,000 of them obeyed the gospel, but before they obeyed it, in verse 37, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do to have our sins forgiven?" And Peter preached the gospel by telling them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." With many other words did he testify, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then the Bible lets us know in verse 41, "May they glad to receive his word were baptized." And as a result of that, we find that 3,000 obeyed the gospel, and the Lord added those saved ones to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people think they can have their sins forgiven if they recite or call God by citing the sinner's prayer. I ask you this in all kindness, my friend. Where in the Word do you find the sinner's prayer in the Bible? You can live from now until the end of time, and you'll never find it. You don't find anything like that at all. All sinners were told the same identical thing to be saved. You see, all people are going to have to hear the gospel. No one's going to meet God at the day of judgment. And the Lord say, "Enter thou into the joy prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Somebody says, "I didn't even know I became a Christian." Well, if you don't know it, you have not become a Christian. People have to hear the truth, my friend. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. John 10, verse 17. Those who come to the Lord, John 6, 40 and 45, have to be taught. The religion of our Lord is a taught religion. Listen again. Going to all the world. and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So they have to be taught. Now, people will either obey the gospel or they'll reject the gospel. Have you ever thought about this? The word of God will make people either happy, mad, sad, or glad. Now, there are some people who have been mad and went away and studied the scriptures and found they were wrong and obeyed the gospel of our Lord. What about you this night, my friend? Have you done exactly what they said to become a child of God according to the New Testament? You can be delivered from your sins if you are willing to do what the Lord said. Now, in Romans the 6th chapter, notice carefully verse 3 and 4. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now stop right there. We're baptized into the death of our Lord. We're buried with our Lord in baptism. Baptism is not sprinkling, it is a burial in water. When we're baptized into the death of Christ, we meet the blood of Christ. Our Lord shed his blood in his death. Therefore, when we are baptized in water, we are baptized into the death of Christ, and the blood of Christ washes away our sins. Now, that's why Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. Did the water wash away his sins? No. The blood of Christ washed away his sins. Now, observe carefully again, Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If a person is saved by faith and faith alone, then they will have a new life before they ever came up out of that baptism. But the new life comes after they're raised from the water grave of baptism. Now I drop over and look at verse 17 and 18 of Romans 6. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When were they made free from sin? Then when? When they obeyed the form of doctrine. What was the form of doctrine? It was a form of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And in verse 3 and 4, that is baptism. We find, therefore, a person, when they're baptized, they put Christ on in baptism. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, back up, let that verse bounce around in your mind. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Let's inject the word not. What do you mean? If you have not been baptized into Christ, you have not put Christ on. Peter says, the light figure wherein do even baptism doth also now save us, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Now, you can take a 12-gauge shotgun and make a 7-foot fella jump down in the baptistry, but it will not do him any good. Listen to me. If you're going to be baptized to please your mate or the preacher or someone else, it will not do you one bit of good. That's just washing away the filth of the flesh. You're going to have to do it from a sincere heart and be convicted and converted to the truth. And when you are then immersed in the watery grave of baptism, every sin you've ever committed in your entire life, my friend, will be washed away in the blood of Christ. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. That can be this day. Wherever you are in this audience, obey the gospel tonight. Pick up that phone after you get through listening to this broadcast. Get a hold of a gospel preacher if it's at midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning. This is a case of urgency to obey the gospel. That, my friend, is the word of truth. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 22:29.